Today's Shir Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, Lema Katanoi. In our previous year, we had discussed the concept that the halach is emishtam shem b'mechuba. One may not use or in any way have real contact with something that's attached to the ground on Shabbos. The Gemara began a discussion, what is the halacha of tzdodim? You're not actually in contact with the tree that's going from the ground. You're in contact with the size of the tree. As the Gemara discussed, and we'll discuss it again in a moment, the Gemara Masech the Sukkah discusses a sukkah that was made with something attached to the tree, and you put the schach on top of that attachment. Certainly, if the schach were put on the tree itself, that would be considered that you're benefiting and you'd be mishtamish from mechubar. The question is, what about stodim? Not directly on the tree itself. Is that mutar or asur? Suggests the Gemara, lema katanoi, that this question of stodim by Elon, which is in our previous year, we said that it doesn't only apply to tzodim, it also applies by a behemoth. So the Gemara wants to suggest as a machloikus tanoim. It says in a brisa, ein oilim b'yontif. One may not enter to a sukkah that's leaning on a tree in yontif. Rav Shimon alozai m'sharamei oilim b'yontif. We may. My laugh. B'hokim l'fgi. What? How do we explain this machloikus? Suggests the Gemara. The Marsov, the Tanakama's opinion is that stodim asurim. So even if the sukkah is not actually constructed using the trees, but if it's constructed in a manner where the trees are used, the support of the schach is on the from a tree, it's also asur. And Marsov and Ramey's opinion is that mutarim, that is permissible. Amar Abaya says Abaya loy. That isn't necessarily what they are disagreeing. Everybody could agree the kula alma tzodim asurim that the sides of a tree are asur. V'hacha. So what is the machloikus over here about? But tzidei tzodim kumufki. They're arguing not something that's directly connected to the tree, rather something which is connected to something which is connected to the tree. Is that also in the category of tzodim, which now we're saying everybody agrees tzodim are asur? Or is that not in the category of tzodim because it's so far removed from the tree? Says the Gemara, Rava Amar, Rava disagrees. And Rava says, Masavet tzodim asurim, Masavet tzidit tzodim utarim, Tanakam is going to hold that tzidit tzodim are also asur, and Ramey is going to hold tzidit tzodim amotam. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar, says Rav, I don't agree to this distinction. Man the asur but stodim, if you hold stodim are asur, asur nami but tzidit stodim, then you're going to hold that tzidit stodim are also asur. Or man the shari, and if you hold that tzidit stodim, shari nami but stodim. In other words, Rav doesn't agree to this artificial distinction that the Gemara is suggesting we make between stodim and tzidit stodim. He says that both are asur. So our Gemara here is speaking about having benefit from the tree when you put the schach on it. Certainly, if you put the schach on the tree, as we've been discussing, it's certainly asur. The question is, if you put it on the tzodim or on the tzidit tzodim, what will be the halacha as well? Is that considered that you're benefiting from it? There's a very famous question that the Shail Satchuvus Oinig Yontif in Simen Memtes asks. The Ramah in Simen Tef Resh Lamates Siv Zayin Paskins is based on Yerushalmi Masechta Shabbos Perek Aleph Halacha Beis that a Yoshi B'Sukkah B'Shas HaGeshamim, if somebody sits in a sukkah when it's raining, Nikri Hedjet, he's considered a Hedjet. There's no Isser, but he's not doing a mitzvah. Ask the Oinig Yontif, if we're saying that the Atzei Sukkah are Muksa, and the only reason we're allowed to use them on Yontif is because it's a mitzvah, so when I'm sitting in the Sukkah and I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, so it's understandable why I can't why I have a right to sit in the sukkah. But if it's raining and there's no mitzvah sukkah, so ask the Einig Yontif, how could I have anor? There's no mitzvah, and and I can't have a mitzvah anor from something only when I'm doing the mitzvah. So the Einig Yontif says that maybe there is still considered a mitzvah, but I saw that the Erler Rav Zatzal said that the only time it's considered that you're having anor and you're not allowed to have anor from it is when you're reducing the kedusha. When you're sitting in a sukkah and it does, and the kedusha, when it's raining, you're not reducing the kedusha of the sukkah by sitting in the rain. And therefore, since you're not reducing the kedusha of the sukkah, even though you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, it's still mutter. The only and the raya is from our Gemara, because in our Gemara, you're not allowed to benefit from the tree because your schach is actually on the tree. But if your schach weren't actually on the tree, that's not considered a real benefit. Ask the Gemara. So Rava just said that he doesn't agree to the distinction between tzadim and tzadi tzadim. Eisvemer Mishar Shlarava, Braisa discusses the din of Erev Tchumim. Now we know what halacha is, that if somebody wants to walk past his tchum on Shabbos, so everybody's tchum is 2,000 mil from the city, in order to be able to walk past that tchum, you have to put up an Erev Tchumim. And as we've discussed previously, we're going to soon, the Mitzvah Shem, learn Masechta Erevin. The halacha is that whatever you gain on one side, you lose on the other side. So you're going to put an Erev to the east side of the city, then you won't be able to walk at all on the west side of the city. So the halacha is that in order to be able to walk in that direction, you have to put up an Ruvei Tchumim. So the Braisa teaches us regarding someone who put up an Erev Tchumim. Noatz, yes, Yosef Be'elon, if somebody put a peg in a tree, V'talaba Kalkola, and he hung up on that peg a basket, and he put into that basket his Erev Tchumim. So the halacha is L'malam Masar Tfachim, if it's above 10 Tfachim from the Rosh Hashanah, ain Erev. You can't, the Erev would not be considered a good Erev. Because the moment that the Erev has to be a valid Erev is Bein HaShmoshes Friday evening. A basket which is 10 Tfachim above the ground typically will have all of the characteristics of a Rosh HaYochid, because most baskets were 4 Tfachim wide. And it's Rosh HaYochid, and you can't carry from Rosh HaYochid to Rosh HaRabim, so your Erev is inaccessible. And if your Erev is inaccessible, it's not a good Erev. L'matim Asar Tfachim, but if it's lower than Asar Tfachim, Eruv Erev, because your Erev is in the same Rishus that you wanted to stay in. So Taisus, the very masculine Lamata, asks a question: why is when the Erev lower than 10 Tfachim, the Erev still considered a good Erev? Arba Tfachim, that's not 10 Tfachim tall, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, is a Carmelis. And we know that you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah either. So Taisus already at the beginning of the Masechta taught us a rule that ain Carmelis bekalim. A keli cannot become a Carmelis. So here we're talking about a basket, so therefore it can't become a Carmelis. Another Taisus, the Taisus says, that carrying from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah, we know is only an Issa d'Rabbanan. And this Braisa is following the opinion of Rebbe, that Chazal did not make a gzera on Shvus bein HaShmoshes. So when do we just say the Erev has to become valid? We said it has to become valid bein HaShmoshes. And bein HaShmoshes, it would only involve carrying from a Issa d'Rabbanan. That's not an issue, and therefore the Erev is a valid Erev. So what do we see, says the Gemara? Tama, the reason why this Erev is a valid Erev, the Noatz Yosef Be'ilon, because somebody put a peg into the tree. Hoylo Noatz, had he not done so, afil amatam yasar tfachim, even if it was lower than 10 tfachim, ain't a ruva Erev. You could not take out that Erev, because the Erev is on the Tzidei HaIlan. So we see that Haitana, Ka'asav Tzadim, would say that you can't hang the Erev directly on the tree, because that's Tzadim, but Kishari, but does allow if the Erev is in a basket, which is Tzidei Tzadim. So how, says the Gemara Turava, do you not accept a distinction between Tzadim and Tzadei Tzadim? Amra Papa, Hocha B'Kalkola D'Chuka Skinen. Bryce is talking about a Kalkola, which has a very tight opening. The Bahadah the Shokal Erev, when you're moving the Erev, Kamana Leila Ilan, you would be moving the tree, the Kamshamish be Ilan Gufa. So that's why it's not case at Stodim, it's a case of the Ilan itself. However, says the Gemara of Hilchasa, the Aloch Lamais is that Stodim are Surim, Stodate Stodim Amutarim. Ravashi, so says Ravashi, Hashtag the Amrit, now that we have established that Stodim are Surim, that the Tzadim are always a Osir, so says the Gemara, High Darga the Medla, the case of a ladder. It's a ladder that leads to a watchtower. Such, the watchtowers were typically built on top of tall poles near palm trees, and one reached them by getting on top of a ladder. So High Darga the Medla, if somebody wants to go up this ladder, Lo Linch Inish Adikla, he should not lean the ladder on a palm tree next to the watchtower, because then the ladder would have the din of its stodim of the ilan, because they're being supported by the tree. El lincha am goze levamedikla, he should put the ladder on different sticks that come out of the palm tree. So therefore, the ladder is not going to be considered stodim, because the sticks are the stodim and the ladder are stodim. Also says the Gemara, v'chisolik, when somebody goes up this adder, lo linach kare avgozei, he shouldn't put his foot on the pegs, on these pieces of wood that come out of the tree, because they're the tzadim of the tree. And as we're learning, the tzadim of the tree are aser. And linach, he should be very careful, akonim, he should only put his feet on the prong, on the rungs of the ladder. The rungs of the ladder, as we just explained, are tzadit tzadim, and we paskin that tzadit tzadim of a tree, a mutter. The Mishnah now begins to discuss the halachas of preparing food for an animal on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Matirin pekiri omel lefnei ha-behema. We could untie bundles of bikin. The Gemara is going to explain what bikin are, bundles of straw, before an animal, umefasvusin as I keep him. And he could scatter those bundles of straw around. Avaloyas azirin, but we may not do that with zirim. Next halacha, emaraskim loyas ashachas, veloyas charuvim lefnei behema. One cannot shred father nor caribs in front of an animal, bein daka bein gasa, whether it's a behema daka or behema gasa, Rabbi Yehuda mater becharuvim ledaka. Rabbi Yehuda says that we are allowed to shred charuvim or caribs for a behema daka. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rab Huna, Hainain Pekin, Hainain Kipin. Pekin and Kipin are both the straw. They're bundles of straw, and of course, the Shilta Gebayrim tells us that when we're saying that we're allowed to open up these bundles, we're talking when there is no issue of matter. It wasn't closed with a Kesher Shel Kayama. Because if they would have been closed with a Kesher Shel Kayama, then we would have a new problem that we discussed earlier in our Masechta, that Matir is a Melacha on Shabbos. It may not be a Melacha Daraisa, because we discussed when we learned Melacha Matir, that those that say that there are those that suggest that you only chai by Mata Amanas Likshar, but certainly it's considered a Melacha Drabonin. The Mishnah says Lefnei Behema, because the Chodesh Aviv says that you're only allowed to open them in front of the animal. So people will realize that it's being done for the sake of you feeding your animal. But if not, there's a concern of Maris Ayin that people will say that you're doing matter on Shabbos for no good reason. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara says Rav Huna, Hein Pekin and Kipin are the same. The difference is the Pekin is tray, Pekin, a bundle tied twice, and keepin a tloss, bundles that are tied three times. Zirin the arzin. Zirin, on the other hand, are arze, are pieces of wood. Vachi, kamer. And this is how to understand the Mishnah. Matir bekiyin amel fnei behema. We're allowed to untie bekiyin in front of an animal. Over paspasin, and we could even scatter the straw. Vuad din lekeepin. And the same thing can be done for keepin. Avalois azirin. We're not allowed to do so for by the wood. Loy lepaspis, veloy lehater. We can't neither scatter it nor untie it. Asked, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda mai tama de Rav Huna. What is the reason for Rav Huna? Kesavah l'mitrik bet uchla tachinan. Exerting yourself to improve an existing food is mutter. L'shvuya uchla, but to make a food, loy mashvinan. That we may not do on Shabbos. And usually cedar woods are meant for fuel. They're not used for animal feed. So when one unties and scatters such a bunch of wood, he's making it into food, which we may not do on Shabbos. There's an interesting tshuva in the Shas of Tshuvas Milcha Shleima from Rav Shleima Zalman Orbach Zatzal, Chelik Ala Simen Vav. He says that when we have bones in the pot on Shabbos, and so we know, as we learned Hilchas Bishul earlier in the Masechta, the halacha is that if your food is cooked before Shabbos, Machal Ben Rasai, you can leave it shia, you can leave it on the fire over Yontif. However, the bones are typically not cooked enough before Shabbos that they're edible. And therefore, when did it become edible? They become edible on Shabbos. And he therefore asks, those who eat the bones, why should it not be usur to eat them? Didn't they get cooked on Shabbos? So Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to suggest that since these bones don't change in any way from when I put this pot of food up before Shabbos to when I put it up on Shabbos, that is not considered making an eichel. And the question comes in to our Gemara. Our Gemara says that Rav Huna said that opening them up and scattering them, it makes into an eichel. So it seems that according to Rav Huna, making an eichel is very simple. It doesn't change really how the food looks. And maybe therefore, according to Rav Huna, it would be usur to eat those bones that became edible on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda has a different interpretation of our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Omer, hein hein pekim, hein zirin. There's no difference between pekin and zirin. This he agrees with Rav Huna. The pekin are tray, pekin are bundles that are bound twice, zirin are bundles that are bound three times. Kippin the arzi, and kippin are made out of these pieces of wood. Vach kamer. Matirin pekin omer l'fnei behema. We're allowed to untie pekin in front of the animal, al paspusi loy, we may not scatter them. The kippin paspusi nami maspisin. Regarding the kippin, we could even scatter them. Avaloy azirin lefaspis el lahater, but when zirin, which are triple bound straw, would neither applies even to untying. Thus, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could untie all types of straw, not scatter none. And when it comes to wood, he holds you could both untie it and scatter it. Omer Rava, my Tam de Yehuda. Ksava shuviu oichle mashvin. To make a food, you're allowed to make a food edible on Yontif. Mitrich bochle, but to be matrich yourself, loim barachinen. To enhance the food, so that means the animal can't eat the bundles of straw while they're tied up. So untying the bundles is therefore necessary to make them edible, and you're allowed to do it because you want the animal to have food on Shabbos. Scattering them to make them more easily eaten is only an enhancement, and Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to enhance it. On other hand, when we speak, however, about wood, they're not edible unless you untie them and scatter them, and therefore, by wood, you're allowed to both untie it and scatter it. So we see from here that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, are two extremes. Rav Huna says making food is permitted, is usur. Enhancing food is mutter. Rav Yehuda holds making food is mutter. Enhancing food, unless it's absolutely necessary, is usur. There's an interesting question that the Bi'ah Halacha discusses. Why? We've discussed many times in our Masechta the Malacha of Makah B'Patish. So he asks, why is there no Isser of Makah B'Patish when you make food? You're making it edible. And why shouldn't it be considered Makah B'Patish? So the Bi'ah Halacha in Simen Shin Yud Ches, Divrei HaMaskeva D'Chosson, quotes many Achroinim who are of the opinion that there is no issue of Makah B'Patish by food. And it's really the opinion of many Paiskim, the Marshag, and others, all held that there's no Makah B'Patish by food. And the question is, why indeed is there no Isser of Makah B'Patish by food? So some say that nothing, a concept that we discussed a moment ago, nothing really changed in the food. We didn't make a physical change to the food. And since we didn't make a physical change to the food, then therefore there's no, that's why it's not considered Makah B'Patish. Another explanation that I saw the Achroinim give, why there's no Makah B'Patish by food, because something which is meant to stay, something which I mean to have permanence to, there is a concern of Makah B'Patish. But something which is not meant to remain permanent, there is no Isser Makah B'Patish. Food, which is meant to be eaten, therefore there's no Isser Makah B'Patish. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara a question of Huna. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Em Raskin as a Shachas for Zachruvim Lefnei Behema. We're not allowed to shred the Shachas, which is like the animal growth, the food that grows from the ground, the grass, or the carobs in front of an animal. Ben daka, ben gasa. Suggesting mar my life, charuva dumi the shachas. The Gemara is speaking about charuvim and the shachas at the same time. Ma shachas the rikiki. So shachas is usually soft. Af charuvim that we're speaking about, ostensibly is talking about soft. Ama, but what our Mishnah says, loy tachinan bochlo. What we're not allowed to make, and all, so the food is edible. All we're trying to do is enhance it. And we see that we're not allowed to do it. To Yoftad Rav Huna, that Rav Huna said that we are allowed to enhance our food for animals on Shabbos. The Sfasemis makes a point. From here it seems that Charuvin are a Machl Behema. Because he says, were Charuvin, were Carib, a Machl Adam, the halacha is that you're not allowed to serve to an animal food which is edible to human beings. So he asks that we know, and we see in Shas in a number of places, that Charuvim were considered a Machl Adam. So he says that they are considered a Machl Adam. But he says that even in a situation, even though the halacha is that we're not allowed to, we should not serve an animal Machl Adam, that's only when we have animal food available. But in a situation where we don't have animal food available, there the halacha is we have an obligation to feed our animals, and we could even feed it human food. Amlach Rav Huna loy, says Rav Huna, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. Shachas to the charuvim. On the contrary, we're supposed to compare the shachas to the charuvim. Ma charuvim de kushi. When we speak about charuvim, we're speaking about hard food. Af shachas de kushi. The shachas that's mentioned in our Mishnah is hard. And hechem mishkachslo, where do you find hard shachas? Beili zutra. Young donkeys, which even shachas is hard for. And therefore, our Mishnah is speaking about making the food. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, shvui oichla, you're allowed to make food on Shabbos, because even though maybe the animal, explains Rashi, would be able to eat it anyway, but Rav Huna says that to make it something that the animal could easily eat is also permitted, as long as it's not considered just an enhancement. Tashma, The Gemara asks another question on Rav Huna. We learned in the Mishnah, Rav Huda matter b'charuvan l'bedaka. Rav Huda says we could shred charuvan for behem bedaka. What do we see? L'daka in, only for behem bedaka, l'gasa loy, but not for behem gasa. Iyam b'shlomo, if we want to follow the opinion of Rav Huda, Tanakama sova, mitra b'uchla loy tachinen, the Tanakama holds, we're not allowed to exert ourselves to enhance food, shvui m'shvinen, but we're allowed to make food edible. And now we could understand what Rabbi Huda says. Ha-charuvim l'daka, making charuvim, shredding charuvim for behem daka, nami shvui achahu. It's considered making it the food because it has weak teeth. Eli Amrit, Tanakam sov shuviu achla lemeshvinen. The Tanakam is going to hold you not to make food. It's like Rabbi Huda said. Mitrich ba'uchla b'tachinu, we're only allowed to enhance existing food. Rabbi Huda the matab charuvin l'daka. So then, when Rabbi Huda says you're allowed to shred the charuvin for behem daka, if Rabbi Huda's point is that shredding charuvin for behem daka is merely an enhancement, so certainly that's the halacha by behem gasa that can eat it when it's hard. Says the Gemara, misar daka mamish. Do you think when the Mishnah speaks about a daka it means a daka behem daka? My daka means a behemagasa. But if it's a behemagasa, so why are you calling it a daka? Asked the Gemara. Am I calling a daka? Says the Gemara, the daka ba'achla. Because a large animal chews the food very well. But asked the Gemara, how could you say that the definition of daka in our Mishnah means that it's really a behemagasa? Just it's daika ba'achla. But let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Hamidik tani reisha bein daka bein gasa. When the Mishnah said, at the beginning, it said daka and gasa, mechlal, so obviously there doesn't mean, daka means behema daka, and gasa means behema gasa. Mechlal Rabbi Huda, daka mamish kama. So at the end of the Mishnah, when Rabbi Huda uses the words daka, it doesn't mean a behema gasa that's daika ba'ochla. It really means a behema daka. And therefore, it's kasha, this question remains on Rav Huna. Toshma, but now the Gemara asks a question on Rabbi Huda's opinion. It says mechatchin as a dlun lufnei behema. The halacha is we're going to learn that you're allowed to cut up cucumbers for an animal. That's a nevela lufnei klovim. Or you're allowed to cut up a nevela to serve dogs. My laugh, dluim dumi the nevela. It seems that when we speak about dluim, they're similar to the nevela. Ma nevela. Now nevela is meat that's ostensibly soft. Ma nevela de rakika. After the lunda rakika, they're both soft. So what do we see here? That we could cut them up for an animal. Alma, so all we're doing is enhancing the food. And Alma, and the Mishnah is teaching us that we're allowed to do it. Tarchinam bochlo, which is contrary to what Rabbi Huda said, that we're not allowed to enhance a food. To you after the Rabbi Huda, Amalach Rabbi Huda, loy. Nevela dumi dluim. The way we have to learn it is the other way. That the nevela is like the dluim. Ma dluim de ushni. The cucumbers, the pumpkins are hard. Af nevela de ushna. It's a hard nevela. Ask the Gemara, but isn't meat soft? Heicha meshkachsla. Where do we find that nevela meat should be tough? Says the Gemara, b'seila pili. Elephant meat. Elephant meat is tough. Inami begraisa zitri. Regular meat that's served to small puppies, they can't even eat soft meat. The only meat that they can eat is meat that's really cut up, otherwise it's too hard for them. Toshma. So Gemara asks another question to Rabbi Huda. The Tanner of Chana ben Ador, Rav Chanan ben Ador taught us, b'fachas and tevin vasbasa, we could crumble straw and shachas, or ma'avim, and then we can mix them together. Now, straw and shachas are edible without crumbling. Yet we're seeing that we're allowed to enhance them. Isn't this a raya contrary to Rabbi Yehuda, alma tarchina b'ochla, that we're allowed to enhance food? Answered the Gemara, tevin, the straw we're talking about, is betivna sarya. It's spoiled, and therefore can't be eaten unless it's mixed together with the shachas, aspasa bi'ilizutri. And the shachas we're talking about, young donkeys. Young donkeys, like we just said, cannot eat something, just like we said about the small puppies, the small young donkeys also can't eat food unless it's prepared, it's not prepared properly. So it's not considered an enhancement, it's considered making the food. And as we learned earlier in our shiur, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that making the food is permitted. Says the Mishnah, Ein oifsim nasagomel. We're not allowed to stuff a camel on Shabbos, v'loy dorsim, and we may not cram it. We're force feeding. Ovis means, as we're going to see in the Gemara, making a way that the animal should be able to have food. And dorsim means you're not allowed to cram the food. Av malitim, we could pour it down its throat. Veim amir mesagolim, we're not allowed to fatten calves. Amalitim. The Gemara is going to explain all these halachas. We're allowed to pour food down their throats. We could force feed chickens, and we could put water into their bran. We can't knead the bran and the water together. We can't put water before bees or before doves in their nest. The Gemara is going to explain why. We can't put water before geese, chickens, and pigeons. It's interesting, the Mishnah uses the words malitin for feeding an animal. So I saw that Gaval de Gavart from Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal. Rabbi Yerucham, the Mir Mashgiach, says, we all remember that Esav said to Yaakov Avinu, Haliteni no. Haliteni no. And Rashi says, Eftach pi ushvoich harbil toichen. I'm going to open up my mouth and you'll pour a lot of food down my mouth. So Rabbi Yerucham said, look at this story. He says, Esav was the son of Yitzchak Avinu. He was the grandson of Avram Avinu. He was a person, as the Gemara teaches us, who excelled in the midah of kibbutz av v'aim. With all of these tremendous attributes, where did he end up? With all of these tremendous attributes, he ended up being haliteino, eating like an animal. So Rabbi Yerucham used to say, look what could happen to a person if a person doesn't watch himself. If he watches himself properly, he is a great individual. But if he doesn't act like he's supposed to, and he doesn't watch the way he's supposed to act, then he could end up being like a behemoth, like our Mishnah says, the word halota applies to animals. Says the Gemara, Mai ein oifsim. The Mishnah says, we're not allowed to stuff the camel. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, ein oifsim lo avos b'toch me'eah. They used to make some sort of a avos, some sort of a track into its stomach. And as the Gemara is going to teach us now, that track was there in order to give the animal, that the food should last in the camel's stomach. Mi'ekekai gavna, says the Gemara, is it possible to do so? Says the Gemara, in. Ukramar of Yemi Medifti, Ladi Chazal Yahu Taya, I saw this Arab merchant, Dachla Kura, he fed his animal, his camel, an entire car of food, and then Vatina Kura, and then it loaded up the stomach that should have in reserve that amount of food. We further learned that the Mishnah Eimamirim, we're not allowed to fatten calves. Ezi Hamra, so we might want to know what's the difference between Hamra and Halota. Amar Yudah Hamra is Lamakum She'eni Yochel Achzer, stuffing it to a point where the animal can't bring the food back up. Halota, Lamakum She'eni Yochel Achzer, where it could bring it back up. Chizdama, no. The different Idi V'Idi, both Hamra and Halota, refers to Lamakum She'eni Yochel Achzer, feeding it to a place where it can't bring the food back up. However, Hamra is using a keli. A keli is what the Mishnah says is Aser. Halota is Biyad, and the Mishnah is more lenient. Because as the Rambam explains, all of the reason that our Mishnah was Machmer is because they were worried that if you're going to do it in a certain way, you're going to come to do different Isurim, Tchina, etc. So, and of the Dechol, so therefore, as much as we could do it not in the regular fashion, that's what we're obligated to do. Says the Gemara, Masav Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef asks, it says in a Braisa, Mahal Ketan L'Tayakan Goylim, We're allowed to force feed chickens. We could feed them. We can't feed different types of doves. We can't force feed them. Ask the Gemara, my mahalkitin and my malkitin. The Brice are differentiating between mahalkitin and malkitin. So the Gemara wants to know what's the difference. Ilema, mahalkitin means sofalebi yodayim. You're allowed to put the food down with your hand. Malkitin means the shodle kama. You throw the food in front of them. Mechlal, says the Gemara, the way, if that's the way you're going to explain, we can't throw food in front of them either. Why should we not be allowed to throw food in front of them? Elalaf, mahalkatim lamokim she'eni yochel ha'achzer. Mahalkatim means that you put down the food to a place where you can't bring the food back. And makitim is the mokim she'yochel ha'achzer. Mechlal, but this implies that I'm raw, fattening, which our Mishnah said is asur, must be bekli. To Rav Yehuda, and this is different than what Rav Yehuda said, because according to Rav Yehuda, he said he always could use a keli. It only matters how far down you push it. Amalach Rav Yehuda says no. Loyal mahalkitin the safle b'yadayim. Mahalkitin means you put it just down. Malkitin, you put it down the throat by hand. Malkitin the shadle kamay that you throw it in front of them. Ah, you asked. If malkitim means just throwing it in front of them, the kakashloch. So if so, yoyne shevich, the yoyne aliyah lemishda kamay namiloy. In front of these doves, we can't throw the food. Why not? So he says, indeed you can't, because when are you allowed to put food in front of an animal? Says the Gemara, hani mili hani mizonis alecha. When it's food that you, when it's an animal that you're responsible to feed it, a chicken that you have in your chicken coop, you're responsible to feed. And therefore, you can put the food in front of it. But doves, you're not responsible to feed them. And if you're not responsible to feed them, you're not allowed to throw the food in front of them. Kritanya, like we indeed learned on a braisa, nice to mezonos lefnei kelef, you could put food before a dog. Very nice to mezonos lefnei chazir, but you can't put food in front of a pig. My hefesh ben zeh lezeh, what's the difference between a dog and a pig? Zem is a nice of a love. We're talking about a dog, which is your dog, and your dog you have to feed. But the halacha is that a Jew is not allowed to raise pigs. So the pig that you're feeding is obviously not your pig. And if it's not your pig, if that's not your pig, you're not allowed to feed it, even by just throwing the food down in front of it on Shabbos. It says the Gemara Amar of Ashi, Masnisa Nami Deka. We have arrived from our Mishnah as well. The Mishnah said, Ein nois de mayim lefnei dvarim lefnei yoynish oivach. We're not allowed to put water in front of these different doves. Av nois lefnei avozim, we could put it in front of geese, lefnei tanagol, and chickens, lefnei yoynish adroitius. My Tama, what's the difference between the doves and the other birds? La b'shum dahanim is a nois in alecha. And animals that you're responsible for, you could feed. For honey, animals that you're not responsible for, you're not allowed to feed. Says the Gemara, Ul Tameich, my area Maya. So why only water? If you're right that the difference is if you're responsible or not responsible, there should be the halacha should be even by food. El Shani Maya, the Shchicha Be Agma. Water which is available to a food animal, you can't feed it because it could get it by itself. But the Gemara does indeed seem to stick to the difference that there's a difference between animals that you're responsible for versus animals that you're not responsible for. And animals that you're not responsible for, you can't on Shabbos feed. Based on this, the Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Chof Dalet Sifkot Zayin tells us that there are people that serve, that on Shabbos Shira give birds food because the birds chirp. And the question is, how can we give birds food on Shabbos? Isn't this, when those birds that we're putting food out for are not our birds? And if they're not our birds, we're not responsible for them. And therefore, we shouldn't be allowed to feed them. But I did see that the minig, of course, is that we do serve, we do put out food for birds on Shabbos Shira. I saw that the Frieder Golubavitcher Rebbe said that this minig goes back to the time of the Maral, that the morale would, on Shabbos Shira, gather together all the young children and give them crumbs to serve the food, serve the birds' food. And I saw that the Sefer Or Pnei Moshe says that what is the minig, what is the basis for this minig? Because Parashat B'Shalach, where we read the Shira, also has the Parashat Hamon. The Mon, we know, represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gave us Panosa. Not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to keep a jar of the Mon in the with him all time to remind Klal Yisrael that we HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Panosa. But now we don't have the Mon. So we throw food to the birds to show, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care that these birds will have food, so too the birds will not have. We also will always have Panasa. Another pshat that I saw from Remendel Rimanover, again, it's not, these pshatim are not connected to the parashas Shira. They're actually connected to parashas Hamon. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that on Shabbos there's no mon. And we know throughout history, Dosim Vavirim were terrible Rishoim. So what they did was, that Shabbos morning, to show that Moshe Rabbeinu was not right, they went and they spread crumbs all over. And Klal Yisrael will think, or they spread the mon that they had all over, and that they everybody should think, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. There is mon on Shabbos. So the birds, wanting to protect the honor of Hashem, wanting to protect the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, went and spread out, went and ate up that mon, and Dosan Avira's plan was foiled. So in Tzchar, what the birds did on our behalf, did for the Kovet Shemayim, we feed the birds on Parshas B'Shalach. Another reason is that the birds also sang Shira with Klal Yisrael and the Yam, and therefore they get their Tzchar by getting crumbs on Parshas B'Shalach. So, but the Magen Avraham's point, it's still a good point. Our Gemara says we're not allowed to feed an animal that we're not responsible. So says the Nemukei Or Chaim that the Pasuk says, V'rachma v'kol ma'asav. So if we're serving them because we have rachmonus on them, we're allowed to. Another pshat that he says is that if you're doing it because you want to feed animals, so our Gemara clearly just taught us that animals that we're not responsible for, we may not feed on Shabbos. But if we're feeding them because we want to follow the minig, so we're not doing it for their behalf. We're doing it on our behalf. Since we're doing it on our behalf, that's why it's mutter. Another pshat that I saw from the Eishel Avram, the Eishel Avram suggests that the only food we're not allowed to serve to an animal on Shabbos is food that we would not eat normally. So that we can't serve to the animal. But food that we would not eat, the crumbs that we're giving these birds to eat, are food that we wouldn't normally eat, something that we wouldn't normally eat, there is no problem of giving it to the birds on Shabbos. But I did see that the stipler, in order to fulfill this minig, would not serve the birds, the food, the crumbs on Shabbos. He wanted to fulfill the minig, but he didn't give it to them on Shabbos. He served it to them on Sunday. I also saw that the Oil of Shabbos says that since Shabbos Shira is usually in the wintertime, when the birds don't have food available, when the food is not available, then we're doing it, then we'll not even feed any animal on Shabbos. The Miri says that what Algamar means that you're not allowed to do tircha, but just throwing some crumbs is not considered tircha, and therefore we're allowed to do it on Shabbos, just throwing the crumbs to these birds. The same halacha that we're discussing now, I believe we mentioned this previously in a shir, is relevant also to Rosh Hashanah. People go to do tashlich on Rosh Hashanah and they take along challah, bread to throw to the animal, to the fish, And according to the way we're learning now, it should not be mutter. Says the Gemara, Darash Rabbi Yonah Pesach Debei Nesiyah, Maidik Siv, Yodei at Tzadik Din Dalim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the suffering of the poor. Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bekalv Shem Nezayanah Sam Utim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the dogs don't typically have a lot of food. Fikach Shoyach Yilosu B'meyev Shloish Yomim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that dogs should have food in its belly for 3 days. Kritnan, as the Mishnah actually teaches us, Kam Tishach Yilosu B'meyev Yitomai, how long could the food linger in the stomach of an animal? The Mishnah over there is referring himself to Olois, that if an animal ate human flesh, which is Tomei, at what point is the flesh considered decomposed and it doesn't give off Tomei? The Caliph Shloshi Yom Meis, by dogs it's for 3 days. Uba'ifis Vedogim, and by birds and fish, Kadesh Tipal over to serve the amount of time to fall into fire and get consumed. Amrav Hunashmami, no. It's proper to throw food to the dog. The kama, how much food should we throw him? Ara Mary, Mishach Udne V'chutra Basrei. Throw him a chunk the size of an ear, and then hit it. Because if you're not going to hit it, the animal is going to get, this dog will always be connected to you. Why will this animal be connected to you always? Because the animal knows that you're feeding it. It says the Gemara, Hani Mili, furthermore, in the Midbar, outside of the city, you could feed the dog. Ava Masa, in the city low, not. Dasa Lemisrach, it will always follow you. Abra Papa, and Kamitra Papa, lest the Anya Mikalba, there is no creature poorer than a dog, lest the Asim Chazira, there's no creature wealthier than a pig. A pig eats everything, so wherever it is, it has what to eat. And the dog doesn't have food, you have to give it constantly to eat. So here the Gemara spoke about the difference between a dog and a pig. There's a vart from the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak ben Sosha. We know the Torah says, "Lo yech l'chob bnei Yisrael when Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, l'chob bnei Yisrael lo yechretz kalav l'shoinai." So he says, the Kedushas Levi explains that the pasuk says, "Bereishis bara l'kim," and the Medrash says, "Bereishis." Yisrael, Yisrael, Shanik, Rishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because of Klai Yisrael, and the panasa of the entire world comes from Klai Yisrael. Which animal needs Klai Yisrael the least? The dog. Because the dog, as we just learned, has the food last in its stomach for 3 days. So even the dog that relies on Klai Yisrael the least, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when we leave Mitzrayim, La Yechretz Kelev L'Shoinai. The Gemara says, Les the Anyo Mikalba, Les the Osir Mechazira. So he says, so I saw that the Gra says that mitzvahs that have a mazel and the Averis that have a mazel. Certain mitzvahs that nobody will, for certain Averis nobody will do, and the certain Averis that nobody, that people are not careful with. He says, eating chazer. Eating chazer is an aveira that nobody, that no Jew eats. You know, a Jew doesn't eat a dover acher. On the other hand, lashon hara is also asur. The Gemara Masechet Erechin says that lashon hara is comparable to the gimel averis chamurus. But we see that people are not so careful in lashon hara. So that's what he says. Lest the anime kalba, the lashon hara is connected to dogs. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim says, "Kol sapa lashon hara roy l'shlich l'klovim." Lest the anime kalba, but there's no avera that's poorer than lashon hara. People are not careful in lashon hara. The lest the azira, and there's no avera that's wealthier than chazir. People are very careful to eating, not eating chazer. But we have to treat all averis equally and try to avoid doing any averis.